We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hi, it's Giancarlo. I just wanted to apologize in advance for maybe some of the sound quality in this episode. It's only when I speak, actually, and it's not that bad. But for me and for us at Heatbeat, you know, we always try to put out the very, very best product. And anything short of that is a failure on our part. So I apologize for the sound problem when I speak. I hope it doesn't hinder your listening that much. It's not that big a deal, but I do want to apologize. And all of us at Heatbeat want to apologize. It was just a minor thing that I have since fixed, but unfortunately I didn't catch it during recording. So thank you guys very much for always listening to us, and each and every one of us, from the writers to the people hosting the show, we all thank you so much for listening and always supporting us. So happy new year to all of you. This is our first show of 2016. Let's get this off on the right foot, and I hope you all enjoy.
This is with Giancarlo Nava and Ryan Goins.
Welcome to the Heatbeat Podcast. I'm Giancarlo Navas, and today it is the Battle of the Alps. We have two Alps on the show. We have Heat Twitter president and OG Alf.
The original Alf, the non-fraudulent Alf.
OG. And then we have this fraud over here.
This man.
Twitter troll. Jack, do you take pleasure in making people angry on Twitter?
I mean, if I didn't, that'd be kind of sad, though.
Everybody hates you, man. You get people.
Yeah, no. If I was legitimately upset with people hating me on Twitter, I don't think I'd live a very happy life.
Who's the better Alf?
Him. I mean, not me.
No, that's no fun, man. You're Jack Alfonso. You have to have some backbone.
It depends what you mean by better.
Have some backbone, damn it.
No, he knows. It's well documented that he is the lesser Alf.
Well, you're the president, so.
I changed my avatar, so.
What is your avatar?
It's Morty from Rick and Morty.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think he looks like you.
Oh, yeah, he does.
He kind of looks like you.
Just white with brown hair, yeah.
I mean, it's just generic. White people look the same. We all know that.
Yeah, we all do.
That's funny, because I think people say black people look the same, and I've never felt that way. I feel like white people all look the same.
Every person looks the same. I don't know.
No.
I feel like it's anybody outside of your own race. You know, for the people you're around most of the time, if you know, for your race, you can tell the difference. But to me, yeah, all white people, all Hispanic people, all Chinese people, everyone looks the same. But I can completely understand it when a white person says all black people look the same. Doesn't bother me at all.
Really? I think all white people look the same.
I have a hard time telling a lot of them apart. Like, a lot of white people apart.
A lot of them.
Like, there's these actors. There's Nick Thune who's like a comedian. Then there's like Nick Holt, who was in Mad Max. And then there's like this third guy. And I always think, I always get them mixed up. They're like pretty obscure, I guess, but, or Nick Holt isn't, but it's basically, I never know which one is which.
Have you guys ever confused like a basketball player, like, oh, that's so-and-so, like without looking at anything, just by the way they dribble and like their build, and you like, you're terribly wrong?
I've watched Heat games just like on really low definition TVs before. And I would mix up Chalmers and Wade.
I was going to say that.
Because Chalmers would be, like, wearing a shooting sleeve one night.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, oh, that's definitely Wade.
But, you know, Eric Reed does it all the time.
No, Tony does it all the time.
No, I know. Eric Reed. Like,
Eric does it a lot, too, though.
Chris Bosh will make a jumper. Oh, dang, from the wing. What?
Yeah.
That looks nothing.
Did you hear his call in the Pacers game? It was Dwayne Wade for the win, for the tie.
I will say it again. He is brutal. He's brutal.
Why do you hate him, man?
I love him, but he messes up a lot.
I can't say. No, going back to everyone looking alike, I want to ask Jack something. When I was in college, the white girls, all right, I would be standing next to a white guy, talking to a white guy, and he'd look across the yard at two girls, two brunettes. He would say one was hot and one was ugly, and they looked exactly the same. They could be twins, for God's sake.
All of them could be twins.
I mean, they wore the same exact shorts where they rolled up the top. They wore some t-shirt they got for free at a blood drive. They were the exact same girl. And one was hot and one was a dog. I was like, what is going on? I was like, if I was a white guy, I think I could pull any girl here because they all look exactly the same.
Yeah, that's the thing. There's not much differentiation. There's just, like, there's kind of one standard. They all dress the same. They all have the same hair.
They're all named Allie.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's true, actually.
Allie or Ashley.
And you, and like, Jack, you live in Indiana, right?
Yeah.
So you're living this.
Oh, no, definitely. I mean, I'm dating a girl named Allie, so I get it.
I mean, jeez.
That was perfect.
Once again, you prove yourself to be the lesser Alf. Once again.
You're dating a girl named Allie. She's probably white.
I'm married to an ethnic woman. She's not.
An ethnic woman? There are probably like 20 Allies.
Now, and let me definitely. Let me go back on my Eric Reed comment. Eric Reed is brutal, all right?
Why do you gotta be that?
The whole Sun Sports broadcast is brutal. I don't know how many times they'll have, like, they had the camera on Vogel for like 38 seconds, and like they missed two plays the other night against the Pacers. But now every time I think how brutal Eric Reed is, I get a little glimpse of NBA League Pass, and I hear other local broadcasters.
They're all terrible.
Oh, by God. Eric Reed is head and shoulders above those guys.
You miss Eric, right? When you hear Boston guys?
Oh, I like the Knicks guys.
Well, yeah, because it's freaking Mike Breen.
Yeah, no, because it's New York, and they have money for
Mike Breen
and Clyde Frazier.
No, Clyde Frazier's terrible.
Yeah, he's
Clyde Frazier is funny in how terrible he is.
Cleveland guy? Who's the color Cleveland guy? Because he's bad.
Oh, he's god awful. I don't remember what his name is, but the Rockets are terrible. The Cavs are terrible. The Spurs are terrible.
The Thunder are
good. Oh, because they have who they have? Grant Long? Don't they have Grant Long on their broadcast?
I think so.
I might be wrong.
There's the guy
on that.
In the Pelicans who used to do the Laker radio broadcast, and now he does the Pelicans games. He's good. Joel? I don't know. He's good. Why do you hate Eric, though? I mean, like, he's not that bad.
He has a silly voice. I get it.
We talked about this on the last podcast I was on. He sounds like if you were going to do an SNL sketch of a broadcaster, like when Cody does him on Levitard show is perfect, and his stupid stats. That's Hassan Whiteside's 14th dunk of the night. It's like, come on, like it's so hacky, it's so bad. But like I said, and then you listen to other broadcasts, you're like, okay, all right, we don't have it too bad. And I mean, Jason Jackson is.
Jason Jackson's bad.
Jason bad. Jackson's hilarious.
No, he's bad.
But like, he's so corny. He's amazing.
No, Tony's so bad. He's good. Jason.
Tony's
bad. No, Tony's. Listen, I'll fight you.
Ron Rothstein's amazing.
Oh, you'll fight me. Oh, Austin Carr. That's the Cleveland Cavs.
Austin Carr. Yeah, bad, he's
dude.
Terrible.
He's terrible. Do you like Tony?
Do I like Tony?
But like, do you like him because he's so bad? Everybody knows Tony's bad.
He's so bad. He's good.
That's what I'm saying.
But no, and then you know, so at some points, like you're watching this game, and you want a little bit of you know analysis, and Tony's on this, and he says launching pad like 18 times. Hey, it's a Mount Vernon guy. He's a homeboy. And it's like, oh, come on, dude. Every time, like I know every Mount Vernon player that's ever played in the NBA because of Tony Fiorentino. No,
wait, I'm such an expert on the clear path to the foul, the clear path. Why I butchered that? Clear path to the basket foul because Tony just like every time
he never gets it right though.
Yeah, but he's always wrong.
That's the best part.
Well, to be fair, that's like an impossible thing to call. My main issue with them is the camera angles. The camera angles are awful.
It's bad.
Crap. It's complete crap. And like you said, the clear path to the basket foul. He gets it wrong every time. And know what the worst part is? So do the refs.
Like no, the refs are terrible at it. That's
it seems
what I'm
like it's such an easy call to make. Is there anyone between the guy and the basket? It should be the easy. And they go to replay. They go to replay.
And they do it for like 10 minutes.
I know. It's so easy. And it's.
It should be easy, but it never is for them.
NBA officiating this year.
It's been really. I mean, I haven't watched a lot of the rest of the league, but for Miami, it's been bad.
There's been some terrible calls. Just some of the worst calls I've ever seen. Just how do you miss that, or how do you call that?
And even when Miami has messed up, like I think Bosch set a moving screen against Indiana, and they missed that.
Well, you're not calling a moving screen last play.
Yeah, moving screens never get called.
I understand like, that, but somebody's like
made a career out of that.
Yeah,
like, no, the Warriors are making a team off of that.
Yeah. Oh my god, that was so savage.
but the blatant travel calls at the end of the games, and then it's not even like Miami's only getting hurt by it. Miami's benefiting for some of this bad officiating at times too. It's just really, really bad this year.
Stoudemire has been getting hit a lot, and nothing has been called.
Stoudemire? How about Gorin?
Oh, Gorin.
Gorin.
Who's the guy who I really like on Twitter that is all about like he's been really pushing the Gorin Dragic is not getting the free throw line when he like leads the NBA and going to the rim or something like.
I read that it took him like. In the past, like, three games, he hadn't gone to the free throw line once, which is ridiculous.
To the rim.
All day. And then, like I said the other day, like, you'd have to stab him with a prison shank before they call a foul. And then him and Tyler Johnson.
Oh, no, TJ gets – and Hassan, too.
TJ gets, like, loses a tooth every game. And I'm worried for his health. Like, 5 years down the road, he's going to be missing, like, five fingers, a leg. He's going to have zero teeth, and he's going to have – like just a permanent black eye.
He's gonna be what mauled. I thought Ryan Tannehill would be by now.
Yeah, that's what it is. He's a punching bag.
A punching bag, and he also has a really dumb haircut. So,
oh, yeah.
Ooh, Tyler Johnson.
Oh, right.
What the hell
with
is
the
he doing?
And the little that? Chin strap thing.
He may be making league minimum. All right, but that's still a thousand times more money than I make, and I get a haircut every 2 weeks.
Cut that shit off.
Dwayne Wade can like introduce him to a barber or something.
No, it's so bad. But what
he knows DJ Khaled. DJ Khaled gets his haircut like every day.
Can you guys explain this to the audience that doesn't know what we're talking about?
What he has?
Yeah,
he looks like an Amish gangster. he looks like the Amish Jason Williams. That's what he looks like.
He has like for the audience, he has like sideburns, but they don't connect to anything. So they're just like floating on like his jawline, but it doesn't connect to his hair or his like chin. It's just kind of there.
And then he has a Super Bowl haircut.
Oh my god!
It's a
helmet haircut.
It's really bad.
He looks like, you guys have seen Tropic Thunder, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
You know when he dresses up as Simple Jack for the
I can see that. Oh, my God.
That's what his hair looks like. Like, it's made of straw, and he's putting on a show for Vietnamese drug smugglers.
Oh my god, I just looked it up. It's exactly right.
That's our backup point guard, man.
He's great, though. I mean,
he's the backup shooting guard at this point. If you've noticed,
he's backup helper defense.
He's not running a lot of point anymore because
they got Udre
and he's solid. I like Udre. So.
You like Udre?
Yeah,
he's solid. Just he doesn't mess up. I like it.
Yeah, he's consistent. His assist to turnover ratio is pretty good.
Okay,
and
Eric Reed,
he doesn't do the Chalmers thing. Like,
coach, you know
he doesn't dribble it out of bounds every other play.
Stupid fouls at the half court line. Like,
listen, you kind of miss those.
No,
he's not that good, but he's not that frustrating. Like,
he doesn't do anything.
You know what you're
wrong.
Getting from? Yeah.
I don't like those lineups where they take Goran out, put Bosch in, and put Udre in. I don't like when they do that.
Don't like it either.
I don't know why they do that. I don't know why they keep Goran in with Hassan. Are they trying? The only thing I can think of is Spo wants him to learn how to play together, so he'll throw him in now, so they're not learning this later.
I just think most lineups without Bosch are just kind of a mess. Like, just on offense, they look just weird.
Yeah.
I was watching the end of the...
I agree with you, but it kind
of
depends.
Of that last game, who did they play? The Knicks. And sorry, I was... You know, the Knicks are so irrelevant, I forget that they exist.
I want to forget that game happened.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever. They can't keep winning. Like, if they just keep winning three and then losing their fourth and then do that for the rest of the season, they're a great team.
Yeah, let's win three, lose one. I'll do that all year. Yeah. I'll be happy.
They're about to go on the road and get, like, slaughtered by...
I think some of those... a lot of those games are pretty winnable. I don't think they're going to get...
You keep
murdered.
Saying... Man, I don't know about that.
No, because you know what? In this 2016, a West Coast road trip is not what it was a year ago, 2 years ago. There's three good teams in the West, and the rest are all very, very, very beatable.
Four good teams.
No, listen,
there's
give me
four
a break.
Good teams, and there's three really good teams. There's good. Two great teams, and then like OKC and the Clippers are like they're good. They're really good.
See, like I wouldn't put the Clippers in OKC's class. I really wouldn't.
Oh no, I wouldn't either. But I'm just saying, it's Spurs and Warriors, and then everybody else.
Everybody besides the Spurs and Warriors are completely beatable for this Heat team.
Yeah,
and they could also lose to anybody in the league.
Have you guys been watching Warrior games?
No. Why?
Have you seen? Because Curry keeps getting hurt in the middle of these games. Like, he keeps bruising his leg because guys are like hacking at his legs. And he keeps, like, leaving for, like, half the game and coming back. And it's kind of funny, and I don't know if it's being done on purpose. And that's why Draymond's stat collecting, because Curry's out. So, you know, he's like, oh, I get to do everything. That's why he's had this, like, this triple-double run. And I was talking with a buddy earlier, and we were talking how funny it would be if they were to play Cleveland tomorrow. And Steve Kerr said, you know what? I'm going to sit Curry because Matthew Dellavedova is a crazy person. He's probably going to try to hurt my guy.
Listen, I wouldn't play. If it was up to me, I wouldn't play Curry in a regular season game with Matthew Dellavedova on the court.
That guy's terrible. Have you guys seen the vines, what he tries to do?
When he jumped on Iguodala's back?
The horsey.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. He's just a clown. He's a decent player, but he does all that shit.
Dellavedova is one of those guys that's an instant fade if I see him in the street.
I don't know why I want to fight him, but I want to fight him.
It's me and him. If I see that dude in the street, it's me and him.
It's a little Australian dude who jumps on people's backs.
He's little on TV next to LeBron.
No, he's bigger than me. I promise you that. He'd kick my ass. I know that. But
it's like that Antonio Davis picture with Amino Hassan. Have you guys seen it?
Oh, yeah. That was ridiculous.
The size of a raisin. And
when Mike Ryan's like, it looks like a CGI.
Yes. I mean, Antonio Davis is a very big man. But
it's because Amino Hassan is probably like 5'11", 6 foot.
Yeah.
It's just fun. It's funny to me, like when we call these guys small, and then you know you walk up next to them, they're 6'3", and you're 6 foot. You're like, oh crap! I still think I can kick back Matthew Dellavedova's ass.
Nate Robinson's not small.
Well, that's the thing. Like you see JJ Barea and Nate Robinson play, and you're like, oh, these guys are the smallest people who've ever lived. Then you look at it, and they're like average height, kind of.
They're 5'10", 5'11".
Yeah,
you know.
I think Nate Robinson's almost 6 feet.
No, he's like, he's 5'10".
I've seen him
probably listed at like 6.
No, he's listed at 5'10", which probably means he's 5'9".
Yeah, he's 5'9" or whatever.
Yeah,
J.J. Barea is probably like 5'10", 5'9".
He was tall.
Now, like Dwayne Wade is 6'1", maybe 6'2".
Udonis Haslam swears he's 6 feet.
Yeah, well, Udonis will tell you he's 6 feet tall. But he's taller than me, so he's probably like 6'1", 6'2".
Udonis looks small, even though isn't he listed at like 6'9"?
He's 6'8".
He's listed at 6'8", I think.
He's the same height as LeBron. When you see them next to each other, they're the same size.
Really?
Which makes it so crazy how quick, how fast, how powerful LeBron is. And Udonis is a lumbering oaf. I mean, even when he was younger.
Isn't Carlos Boozer like taller than LeBron? And Carlos Boozer looks little.
Carlos Boozer's like 6'9", 6'10".
Is Carlos Boozer still in the league, or he's retired?
No, he's just a free agent.
Would you take him? I would take
him. If we're gonna take a free agent power forward who doesn't play any defense,
I know what you're gonna say.
There's a certain guy who's in China right now who's looking for his fourth stint with the Heat. Beasley.
Oh, I think you're gonna go Greg Oden there. That would've been fun.
I'm hella straight.
Odin.
Gregory. No, I thought you were gonna go Stokes.
Stokes needs playing time.
Okay, wait, let's do this for Jack. Because Jack, talk about Stokes. Nobody knows about this kid.
Well, I mean, there's not much you need to know. Like, he's small. He's like, what, 6'7" or something? But he's big. He can rebound. He's just got good body control.
He's small, but
You just said he's small.
No. He's like short, but he's
short,
like,
but he's wide.
Yeah, he's a wide dude. He's not fat. He's just bulky.
So you want the Heat to get a fat player? We already did Eddie Curry.
Well, they already have him.
Who's fat?
And he's rebounding. He can move kind of well. Like, I don't know. I'm not super high on him.
That was the weakest endorsement ever.
I'm not super high on him. I think he can be like a backup big. Like, maybe do a Udonis role, maybe. But, like, he doesn't have a huge upside. Like, physically, he's not amazing. He can't shoot very well. He's just a rebounder, and he can finish inside.
But here's the thing. Is he an upgrade over Amari? Because honestly, when you guys were talking about when Bosh is out of the lineup, the only time if Bosh is out of the lineup and the offense still runs smoothly, I mean, through the high elbow, through the post, is when Amari's in.
No, I like Amari. Like, he's been pretty good. And he hasn't been bad on defense either, I don't think. Like, they've been able to hide him at least.
And because he plays within the system. And
yeah.
And,
no, he doesn't make big mistakes that compromise the defense. So you still have that same top five defense, like, around him.
He did the same thing McBob was doing. Just within the system, making sure he was in the right spot. No one's asking him to block every shot or do anything crazy athletic. Hey, just be where you're supposed to be.
Yeah.
And bother somebody's shot.
I think Bob's was playing well defensively. I think he's a good defensive player. I don't know where this reputation that he's not a good defensive player came from.
I think he's a decent defensive player.
Above average defensive big.
I know what I think he does. I think he understands the system and plays it the way it's supposed to be played.
He's mobile enough that he can. I think he's mobile enough that he can do different things, and smart enough that he can, you know, stay in his lane, kind of.
Well, I do think that when he's out there is a threat of they don't want to throw a ball in the passing lane when he's there because he'll take
it
and go.
If
Hassan gets it, Hassan has to wait for a guard. The balls will just go.
It's just the offense has been kind of, like, with him was kind of brutal because he wouldn't shoot.
Well, he started to shoot.
He was kind of a mess. He did, but then he immediately got hurt.
But that's so annoying because he was starting to help.
Well, what if he
That's didn't what shoot? Happened last year.
Well, what if he didn't shoot because he knew it would hurt his knee?
Yeah,
it's our fault.
Because the whole arena was yelling.
Twitter was so mad at him.
But also, if you can't shoot, like, if you don't have the ability to shoot physically, you shouldn't be an NBA player, maybe.
Have you guys
seen Unless you're, like, Hassan and only dunk.
Hassan or Rondo.
Hassan loves to shoot.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Hey, he kind of destroyed in that Dallas game.
As Tony would say, a feathery jump shot.
He can hit that. He practices that shot.
He practices that
shot. He practices that shot before every game.
You have to make it sound
raspier and like you smoked a lot of cigarettes.
My favorite is He has excellent footwork, Eric. No, he doesn't, dude. Like, he does not have excellent footwork.
That's like the one thing he doesn't have.
He has maybe the most terrible footwork I've ever seen, but he's probably 6'11". He's not 7 feet tall, and he has arms the length of an 8 foot person, and he can just get it up and over the rim. Don't tell me it's his footwork that got him there. It's the fact that he can bumble and stumble his way and put his arm up and it's already near the rim. I've been called a Hassan basher. I'm not a Hassan basher, but I understand his limitations.
Yes, you are.
I'll take it. You know,
please put that in your Twitter description.
What, a Hassan basher?
Yes, he Twitter.
I like it.
Hashtag he Twitter president. Hashtag Hassan basher.
There are some worse people when it comes to Hassan. Like, some people just refuse to admit that he's ever done anything good for the team.
Oh man, who's that guy? He follows the account a lot. Humberto. He hates him.
I don't really. I think I've muted him. I don't know.
No, he's our fan.
No, I'm sure he's cool. I don't know if I've muted him, but also some of the takes are a little too hot.
I get really mad at Hassan, and he gets really mad at coaching.
First of all, his grammar is terrible, and I can't do it.
Humberto, I love you. You keep reading and listening to the show.
Hey, listen to the show. Ignore so you them. Can learn to not have You're those terrible
very
takes.
Special person. I like your hot sports takes. You're a positive fan.
Listen, jackass, don't listen to my podcast when I'm on, and don't read any of my articles, you jackass. I can't listen. I tried. I even followed him back because I'm a sympathy follower.
You're a nice guy like that.
I do it all the time, and I didn't block him. I just muted him. I can't argue with someone whose grammar is that terrible and everything you said. Oh, it's the coach's fault. Okay, Beto Udrich just missed a wide open jump shot. How is that Spo's fault? And that's another thing I wanted to talk to you guys about, because you're intelligent basketball fans, and I need somebody to vent to about the reactions after games.
They're hilarious. You get mad. People leave Twitter. Spoon did not die for this. Spoon did not die for this.
No. Sometimes I want to leave Twitter after the reactions. Like, the whole Fire Spo campaign is the most ridiculous thing ever, because I don't know how you watch the games and see, like, the team's missing every wide open three-pointer they take. That's clearly Spolstra's fault.
What I try to explain, and part of it, now, I need everybody to understand where I'm coming from after games, because I feel like I ruin everybody's timeline, and I do it purposely because I am just as frustrated as everybody else after a Heat loss. And the only thing that makes me feel better is going on Twitter and reading the idiots who are blaming the wrong people. And then I get to defend the Heat, and it makes me feel better about the loss. This is my coping mechanism.
Wow, you're brilliant.
It makes me feel – I go to sleep like a baby that night. Before I started doing this, I used to toss and turn all night after a Heat loss. Now I go to sleep like a baby because what you guys see it the same way I see it. You can watch a game where the Heat lose and still say, okay, I saw improvement tonight.
I'll take it, yeah.
Well, my least favorite complaint is when they – like when they'll win three straight and then lose a fourth, and they'll be like, hey, there's – like you can't lose to the Knicks. It's like – but they beat them by 20 twice and they just won three in a row. They don't have to win every single game.
Yeah, but Jack,
NBA teams lose to worse teams all the time.
All the time.
The Mavs beat the Warriors. The Bucks beat the Warriors. The Spurs have like six losses or something.
Yeah,
I think the objection is not that they lost to the Knicks, is that they lost their last home game before a long road trip against a team that they should have won, and they played pretty terrible on offense, and Hassan looked awful.
Okay, but that's still three out of four games, though, understood. That they won. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, here.
I get the frustration. You never want to lose to the worst team. Like, they should have beat the Knicks. Like, that would have been a good win to have.
Carmelo couldn't miss.
But they can't win every game.
Expected. Yeah, listen.
They're not the best team in the NBA.
Let Alf talk.
Yeah.
He's the better okay. Alf.
Well, yeah, better Alf talk. Yeah.
This whole thing about situational basketball, like, because it was the last home game before a road trip, they shouldn't have lost. That is the most ridiculous take. Like, it doesn't matter. At the end of the year, the wins and losses don't mean different things. It's one number against another number. All right? So They went into that game. Now, you can complain about the offense all you want. The offense, okay, this is where the Fire Spo crowd drives me nuts. The offense did what it's supposed to do. They got 1,000 open shots. Shots were going in and out, all right? Wide open shots were falling off the rim. Layups, runners, nothing was falling. So when you look at that game, you have to say, okay, I watched this game. We missed a bunch of open shots. So I can't blame the coaching staff because the coaching staff put our players in position to make shots. This is a make or miss league. Some nights you have a bad night. The only player that showed up last night was Chris Bosh. The other guys, I mean, nothing was falling, right?
Dwayne played well.
Dwayne played okay, but you know, Dwayne just, you know, he did, he tried to force an issue because he just saw what was going on at times.
I mean, he had 6 assists, he was playmaking.
He kind of saw what was going on. He knew he could. If you asked Dwayne Wade in the third quarter, are you going to win this game? He probably would have told you, there's no chance. I see what's happening tonight. It's just not happening. All right. Then you look at the game before that. Offense was terrible against the Pacers. Absolutely horrible. It wasn't a bunch of missed shots. It was bad offense for most of the night. And then all of a sudden, they just kicked it into high gear. Now, you look at both those games, I'll take the win, but I'm also not going to poo-poo that loss like crazy because I feel like the process was there, the shots just didn't fall. And it's going to happen in an 82-game season. And then you say, oh, well, it's going to happen a lot because this team can't shoot. That 2-for-17, it's not like that happens every night to this Heat team.
It happened. I agree with you. The only criticism I could say of the team is in its construction. They do have a lack of shooting, especially from guard spots. And while the 2-for-17 doesn't happen often, they just had an outing very similar to that against Indiana. So it has happened recently. And that's the only criticism I think is fair from that night is look at the shooting. They've done that twice in a row. They can't be doing that often. And this team is going to go through some periods where that happens.
And they are, but yeah, go ahead, Jack.
Oh, okay, thanks.
Thank you, almighty Lord.
No, I realized I was dominating.
No, I was just going to say, like,
Dwayne Wade right there.
As a greater elf would
come on, man.
Tend to do.
Okay, that
Dwayne Wade hijacking the offense.
Hijacking the show, man. All right,
go yeah. Goran. yeah, I'm Goran, because... No, I'm saying, like, they have obvious weaknesses. Their offense is not going to be amazing, even if they get it all together. But I think they're kind of slowly learning some things. Like, Bosh is finally taking 20 shots a game, which is where he needs to be at. Like, he's the best player on the team, and the offense kind of needs to be centered around him. So I think that's an improvement. And if they can just hit a few threes and get something from there, they'll be fine, and then they'll just rely on their defense most nights. But yeah, those shooting performances are going to come, and there's nothing you can do about it with this roster. But they're not every night.
I think this team needs to hit about 5-6 threes a game. They don't need to be in the 10-11 range every single game. There's been games where they've hit like 11, well, you know, they've hit 8-9, 10-11 threes where it wasn't good offense. It was Gerald Green jacking up fallaways. Yeah. You know, it wasn't good offense. Literally the first, you know, 20 games of the season, you could say the offense was god awful. Right. So now even when we lose games and I see that the offense has improved, I can sit there as a fan and say, OK, we're making better decisions. Goran, you know, because the only thing I'll say about last game is Goran wasn't aggressive enough. But at the same time, the Knicks are also an NBA team. They were doing things to cut off the lane for Goran. All right, so we did get to other shooters and we got to open spots. We took good shots. They didn't fall. All right, they took us out of our game a little bit, but we still adjusted and got good shots. So I can still look at that game and say, okay, we're making adjustments. We're learning. We're getting better. And then I can look at this game like the Indiana game and say we had no business winning that game. Well, so my thing is every time the Heat lose a game, they technically, quote unquote, should not lose. Does anyone go back and say, OK, well, we've also won some games we, quote unquote, should not have won? You know, it's at the end
happens throughout the course of a season. And that's why I think that.
So why bug out?
But
why
it balances nuts? Out. It's just one of 82.
But you know how fans are. And I want to get to something you said, Alf, how you wanted, you know, you said around 5-6 threes. you want the Heat to make, that would put them at the bottom of the league.
They are at the bottom of the league. That's who they are.
You have to get better at that. It's the best teams all are in the 9-8 range.
I think if this Heat team on a given night goes 6-14, 7-16, that's the kind of night they're going to win that game.
They're 6.6 for 22 attempts. 20 attempts.
And look at their record. They're going to win more often than not with that kind of shooting. And right now, they're winning way more often than not.
They're winning in spite of their shooting.
But the thing is, their defense is so good, and they're so good inside the paint, is they just need a minimal contribution from outside. All they need to be is passable from outside, and they'll win most games.
Let me ask you something. Because what you're saying is nice if you just want to be a decent team.
But they are. They're not going to win the title.
No, I'm not saying they're going to win the title, but if you want to – I think everybody would agree. I think rational people would agree that a realistic goal is the Eastern Conference Finals. And that's where you want to be. And once you're there, you want to compete with Cleveland.
And what they're shooting from three right now, if they continue their defense, they continue to attack and be aggressive on the inside, which is it's the only reason they got back in that Pacers game. It wasn't three-point shooting. It was attacking. And attacking opened up some shots from the outside. But it was getting to the free throw line. That's what this team is. Wanting this team to be a great three-point shooting team and getting mad when they aren't and they lose, you are going to drive yourself nuts for the rest of the year.
I don't think that great three-point shooting team, but I think a middle of the pack.
But they don't have the personnel for that. They just have terrible three-point shooters.
I know they don't have the personnel for that, and that is the only objection that I think you can make after these games, is that their personnel is not built for that.
Okay, but
why you don't try to fire Spo after the game, because he doesn't build the roster.
I agree with you. I totally agree. I'm just saying that is the only, to me, reasonable complaint you can have at this point. And Dwayne hijacking the team at times. Other than that, I think...
But has Dwayne done that a lot lately?
I think he did that a lot.
He's gotten better. I think he's gotten a lot better about it.
Dragic didn't touch the ball forever, which they won that game, but I thought that was kind of bad process, good result.
No, in the Indiana game, when Dragic did get the ball, it was hot potato time a couple times at the end of the game. And part of it is because he never gets the ball at the end of the game, so he's just not even comfortable at that point. So part of it is a bad process. But in the end of that, Goran got them back, and this team is kind of built, okay, we get it close enough, we have two Hall of Famers. Let them go to work. All right? And either...
Thomas isn't on the team anymore.
Okay, we still have two Hall of Famers, man. We have Wade and Stoudemire. No, I'm joking.
Well played. I thought you were going to go Hassan.
Johnson and Udre.
There you go. I thought it Johnson was and Winslow.
It was like when Eric started with the Udre, I was like, wait, I thought it was Udrick.
Who cares?
It's like Udre, and then you kind of like, I don't know. It doesn't matter. He's not going to be on the team.
Doesn't matter. Wow, that's mean, man. He's a dragon whisperer.
All that matters is Tyler Johnson and Justice Winslow going forward.
Do you think they're going to be able to afford Tyler going forward? Because I think he might be playing.
They have him on a great deal. They have him on that Gilbert Arenas restricted free agency thing. So I forgot the details of that, but I'm not a cap expert.
Restricted free agency goes. They make you swallow that awful.
No, this is one of the special things, though. It's like it's not like pure restrictive free agency. It's they're going to get him on a good deal. I can't explain the minutia of cap stuff because I'm an idiot and I don't know numbers.
Of analysis that you get on the Heapie podcast.
Well, don't ask me about cap stuff.
Where is Albert Random?
Tyler isn't going anywhere.
Yeah, he's here.
I don't see Whiteside back next year. I just don't.
Really? You don't?
I saw last game, and I saw that dunk over Porzingis and him staring down Porzingis down 13.
That's awesome.
And honestly, I could feel the heat coming off of Eric Spoelstra's neck.
Riley was seething.
Oh, Riley was seething. Or Alonso killed an usher. Alonso. I like Hassan. But it's the problem is twofold. One, he is not, and Ethan was talking about this, and I can't believe I agree with Brian Windhorst. I'm going to go throw up after. Yeah, I'm going to throw up after we're done.
He is not a Heat player.
You know, he is not a Heat. He is not a quintessential Heat player. So when you look at it and what say, okay,
what does that mean?
It's Udonis Haslem. It's Dwayne Wade. These loyal guys. These even Dwayne Wade is. Dwayne Wade isn't really. You know what? Dwayne Wade really isn't a quintessential.
Dwayne Wade's not a Heat player. Like
no, he isn't. Yeah. He isn't. But he's
an amazing player who plays for the Heat for his whole career.
He's such a transcendent talent. Yeah. Here's the thing, and that's why you keep paying him. Do you see Riley looking at Hassan Whiteside, who you have every four games, you have to reiterate, hey, you have to get out on perimeter defense. You have to close out on shooters. You can't just lay back and wait for block shots. Like, do you see Riley saying, okay, I'm going to pay you $20 million?
Yes.
No way.
Here's the thing. I think, like, I don't think he's back next year, which I think makes the team worse in the short run. But tying up all that money,
I
think helps it. Because if they hadn't already tied up money in Dragic, Bosch, and a bunch of people, like, if they're going to pay Wade more than they should probably, which is fine.
Oh, do you?
But if they hadn't already had all that money tied up, I'd be fine with them going, like, giving a big contract to Hassan, because what the hell? But with all the, like, you need as much cap as you can get, and I really don't think he's the guy who
you don't know
you want to devote 5 years to.
With Dwayne having a pretty healthy year, and
God, it's gonna be terrible.
And no, I'm like, what the thing? You're gonna turn around and say you can't stay healthy, and he's gonna say, well, I just did stay healthy.
I think Wade's going for some like 3 for 36 or 3 for 30. Nothing crippling. I don't see him go. I
don't know what you think. I mean, he tried and he couldn't get it, and I think he's gonna.
Well, he got that big 1 year thing, and I think there was a kind of a handshake agreement that
there was a handshake and a wink. Yeah, there was a handshake and a wink and said, okay, we'll give you $20 million next year, $36 million over three the next. So that's four for 56, 4 for 60. It's a good contract. Let's get this done. Man, okay, no problem.
I don't know. And I mean, again, I'm only going by what is reported, and particularly by Lebatard. And what I think is interesting about this whole thing is the Heat can use Dan as their mouthpiece to trash Dwayne. And that's kind of what's happened, right? So throughout that whole process, it was Dwayne wants this, Dwayne wants that. We're trying to do this. So they have a voice in the media and probably the most dominant voice in South Florida.
And Ethan was Wade's voice.
Yeah. Dan echoes louder because of
course.
Because the radio show. Yeah, but Ethan, I think.
Wade. Yeah, go. Alf.
Oh, well, yeah, Wade used Ethan and Tim Reynolds. That's who he was using the whole time.
Yeah.
But they're not as loud as Lebatard.
So they create this environment in which you guys saw how quickly the fan base turned on him.
Yeah, they turned on him pretty quick. And they're going to turn on him this summer, too.
But I don't understand how – I've never seen this in sports, how such – like, he is the – he is the shining light of the Miami Heat, and how quickly this fan base has turned on him several times in the last 3 years.
What, you've never seen this in sports?
I mean, in South
Florida. No, wait. I've never not seen this in sports.
Does this happen? Like,
this happens all the time.
But, like, turn on that guy? Like,
yes!
Multiple times?
Did they turn on Jordan in Chicago for wanting more money?
Did that happen? Leave me alone.
Fans always side with management. No, it's the most ridiculous thing.
It's weird.
Man, I thought that they'd cape up for Dwayne. Because
no,
Lakers
they don't
fans do it for Kobe.
No, how many Lakers fans bashed the Kobe deal? A lot of Lakers fans did.
Because man, I know a lot of them don't care.
Yeah, and then there was there's a Kobe tards, and that, like, I'm a Wade tard. I said pay Wade whatever he wants. I don't want him leaving. I was crying like a baby.
I'm all on you, man. I'll do the same. Keep him here. Let me be happy. I'll watch him age.
Yeah.
I just thought it was interesting because how quick, like, they just turned on him hard. And they keep turning. And I thought they'd cape up for him.
But look at it now.
It's Pat Riley, too, though. Because you look at how many
fans cape up.
Wade fans there are. There was way more Pat Riley fans.
That's weird to me.
It is weird.
Riley can do no wrong, man. Riley lost LeBron James. And he is still the most beloved.
He got more beloved when he lost LeBron, too.
That's because weird. You're absolutely right.
Because he's so defiant. And you're like, yeah, F LeBron. Hey, we got Dang. We're back. And
you remember that day?
Oh, Dang is the most important signing in the history of the franchise.
Hold on, wait. I want to go over something because I'll never forget tracking the plane. Do you remember the plane? The George Sedano plane?
Oh, God.
We were all following the plane, and Twitter had thought, you know, it was reported Dwayne's on the plane, and we're like, oh, my God, he's a closer. He's going to get it done. And then
when Mickey Arison favorited that tweet.
Yes. And then the
Casablanca hug. I freaked out.
Oh, my God. We were ridiculous.
I was working that day, and I was actually, I was on a job, and I was supposed to be finishing this job, and I just sat in my work truck for like 30 minutes just listening to the radio.
Oh, I was refreshing Twitter like a madman. Like, I'm sitting in the dark in my room because I had to like work the next day, and I'm just refreshing Twitter until that plane landed.
No, not even like- that day. I'm talking about the day that that letter came out in SI, and I heard it. I was like, oh, I just sat there and listened to the radio, despondent.
You know, I was designing the original Heatbeat website with a story about LeBron because I was like, no way he's leaving. Then I got the news in the middle of, like, posting it. I was like, well, can't use this anymore.
You got us Winslow, though, by leaving, so I'm cool with him leaving.
I love Winslow. Don't
Winslow's amazing. Actually, you brought this – or we brought it up earlier when we talked about Wade not really being a Heat guy. I think Winslow's maybe has the chance to be the superstar Heat guy.
I don't think he's going to be a superstar, but I think he's going to be really good.
Or he's going to be a star Heat guy. I think he's going to be the greatest player of all time, and you can't tell me anything differently. Because
him and Tyler Johnson are going to be the next Jordan and Pippen.
I will put on the Winslow cape so fast.
Winslow,
I don't care that he can't shoot.
Winslow will never, and you can quote me in 10 years when I'm wrong, but I don't think Winslow will ever not play for the Miami Heat. The way that the kind of player he is, Pat Riley will give him whatever he wants for the rest of time. As long as Eric Spoelstra and Pat Riley are involved in the Heat franchise, Justice Winslow isn't going anywhere.
I feel like they can sucker him like they suckered UD for all those years.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
That's basically what he is. I think he's basically like a way more talented Udonis Haslem, just in how he's exactly what the Heat want in a player mentally.
Yeah.
I do think he'll fix. I'm glad you brought it up. And the way the Golden State Warriors do a lot of their damage is Curry gets trapped because they run the pick and roll so out. He gets trapped on the screen, like 5 feet behind the 3-point line. So Draymond rolls to kind of that center spot, like a right free throw line, where Curry gets him the ball. And then from there, Draymond play makes off the dribble because he can score, he can shoot, and he makes the right pass. I think, and as well as his contributions on defense, Justice is such a good, he's a good passer for his age and his position. And I think they can run some stuff like that in the future with Wade and Goron, as if they get, if Goron, you know, gets trapped on the pick and roll, or if they get another shooter, they can really use him as a secondary playmaker because he can dribble, because he can pass, and if he eventually gets an offensive shot, I think that he could be a tremendous game changer on both ends.
Yeah, no, I think the driving kick with him, like him leading a driving kick, just centering the offense around that for the next like 10 years, I think that's going to be money. Like, just if you get like Tyler Johnson in the corner, Justice driving to the rim, kicking to him, Justice nailing the threes.
He's a very good screener as well. And I know, like, saying someone's a good screen setter is like the lamest thing ever. But like,
he does a lot of really lame things, I think. Like, a lot of things that nobody wants to do.
So does UD, though. Like,
yeah.
And you're talking about Draymond. I feel like in a matchup, you could actually put Winslow on Draymond.
Of course.
Yeah.
And you
can put him on anybody. That's the thing. Like, who can you not, like, you can't put him on, like, Cousins. But yeah.
Oh, you what? Well, yours was better than mine. I said Brook Lopez.
But like, I'd feel comfortable in the future putting him on somebody like Steph. Like, I don't think he's gonna stop Steph, but like, he's gonna do as good of a job as anybody. He's just the guy who you put on the best perimeter player.
The reason that he can stay, that he can guard Draymond, is because one of the things he does that only the greatest defenders do is when he's playing a guy who can shoot the three, but can also take you off the dribble. He's one of those guys who does not set up. Like, you watch Gerald Green. He always sets up underneath the three-point line because he's so afraid of the drive. Winslow's feet are so good, he will guard you 3 feet outside, 3 feet beyond the three-point line because he's not afraid. He doesn't want to give it a three, and he's still not afraid of you driving past him because his feet are that good. So that's the kind of guy that can guard Draymond Green, because a lot of people are so afraid of Draymond driving to the basket and creating that they back off of him and hope that they can close out on a three. Justice isn't even leaving you at the 3-point line, and he says, "Go ahead and cut. My feet are so good. I will stay with you all the way to the rim, and you'll have to roll right back out." And like you said, the lame things that we look at, great screeners. I'm looking at Justice before somebody even catches the ball. I'm like, "Oh my god!" And I'm falling in love. And I'm like, most people don't even give a crap
about. That's amazing.
Did you guys see that possession yesterday where I think Calderon had him beat at like the half court line, and Justice kept up with him the whole way to the basket.
He doesn't quit.
Like, dude, but you know what I'm talking about? You know the play I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and he just kept up the whole half length of the court while he was beat.
Well, that's the thing, where most guys would give up and let the guy and basically wait for the help. Justice is like, no, this is still my guy. I can still stay with him.
Those kinds of traits scare me though, because those can go away very easily.
I don't think he would. Like, that's just the personality that he is. He loves doing that, just especially if he, like, the team is winning. Like, I think he just, like, it's some weird thing in his brain. It's not even weird, but it's just so uncommon that he legitimately does not care about his box score. All he wants to do is just help the team stop and score.
I agree, but I do think that once his offensive game becomes better, I do think he'll start caring more.
I think it can suffer just because when you're putting in, like, when you're carrying the load on both ends, one end or both ends can suffer. But, like, I don't think he'll ever not be an elite defender.
But he's
like, I think you can just count on him being one of the best perimeter defenders in the NBA for the next 10 to 15 years.
I have a question, Jack. You called him a defender. Were you trying to say something else and then you changed your mind?
Wait, what?
you said it. Forget it. You said it funny.
No, I said it weird. Yeah, no, I.
Okay. He was gonna say D-leaguer because how much he loves the D-league.
I was thinking about the D-league right now because the game just ended, and I was gonna say we need shooting. Josh Richardson just dropped 26, 5-3, and went 4-for-7 from three. So
can he legitimately shoot? Because
he's not there yet. Like, he can shoot, but it's an inconsistent release. Like, he just learned to shoot. Like, he just completely retooled his release for his senior year. And now he's like, I think he'll be a good shooter in like 3 years or 2 years, maybe next year.
He's like all of our shooters, except for Bosch. He can shoot the three, but he's not a pure shooter.
Yeah.
That's why, like, and I was going to ask
you. I think Gerald's a good shooter. I just think, you know, Gerald.
But he's a weird.
He's not a good one.
But J.R. Smith's a good shooter. You just don't trust him.
Yeah.
Their shot selection's bad.
Yeah.
They're good shooters. They're just shot select. I mean, Gerald takes a lot of weird, like, pull up when there's 22.
He also jumps, like, super high on his threes. Have you noticed that?
No, that
like,
helps. Oh, 'cause he's.
No, it helps, but it's just, like, he's always kind of off balance when he does it.
He's a freaking
name. Like, he's always jumping forward or to the side or something.
But sometimes you need those guys when you just. Where nobody can get a shot off, and you say, okay, Gerald. And then, but he's hurt us a little bit in, I think, the last couple of games with some of his shot selection, where, you know, where we're trying to methodically come back or do certain things. And then defensively, he Beasley level lapses on defense. The only thing I can say for him is he really, really tries, which I'll take the lapses because he's trying so hard. It's like, Goran. See, the thing with Goran that's crazy, he's not known as a defender, and you can see that he's putting in that effort. He's not like Tyler. Like, Tyler, you can tell, is an instinctual defender. Goran is all effort, but he also doesn't have like the mental lapses that Green has on defense, which is really good to see out of Goran, because we didn't expect it.
I think Dragic's done a good job.
He's done a great job.
I also think low-key Dwayne has been a decent defender this year.
I think there are games where you see him just not giving full effort, But overall, I think he can do. Yeah. But overall, I think he's been a pretty good defender. Like, I think he's been good for the team. He's
not been a minus on defense. Like, before,
no, he wasn't,
was
like,
scared when guys go. But he's been, he's held his own. He's a smart player. I mean, I think people forget how smart Dwayne is at basketball.
Yeah, I mean, you have to be smart to be in the league that long. And, I mean, to have the success he's had.
He was defensive player of the year, quality for much of his career.
And remember this. This is his first year where he's been without pain. Now, you got to think about it. You're in pain. He says it's his most pain-free year since 2009. You got to think about it. When you're in that much pain, and you have to give your all, and you're also, the load is on you offensively, how much are you going to put in on defense? You're going to try to save some energy. This year, he's pain-free. And he understands that this year, above more than any year probably since 2009, they have to depend on their defense. I mean, that's their bread and butter. If they don't get stops, they're just not a good team. If they can't get some easy baskets getting out and running, especially, you know, sometimes when that second unit comes in and we're down five or six, and all of a sudden steal, 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 layup, layup, layup. He understands that this team is built on defense. And the fact that he's healthy now says, okay, I can exert that energy on both ends. And then also, I think now that he's trusting Dragic a little bit more, and I don't know if you guys see it, especially in the first half, he's trusting Dragic a lot more with the ball. So he's also able to say, okay, I can expend my energy on defense. I don't have to, I'm not trying to save it all to basically bail the team out at, you know, at the end of every shot clock.
Jack?
Yeah, that's why I kind of want him. I kind of want him to lower his usage a little bit, even more so, and let Dragic go, just so he can like give even more effort on defense. I think it'll just be better for his game all around. And people forget that this is like the first time he's had an off season in like 5 years. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, sorry, you know, I lost my train of thought.
You know who's leading the league in usage?
Who? No way.
Justice. Justif Nurkic.
Yusuf Nurkic.
There you go.
Yeah.
Who in the hell?
Exactly.
For the Nuggets.
Yeah.
The center. Is that... That's weird.
He's played three games.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's a small... Obviously, it's going to be a small sample size. He's decent, but
DeMarcus Cousins is the actual leader in uses with qualifiers.
Okay, yeah.
Dwayne is...
That makes sense.
Dwayne is in the top 10. He's right... Right,
which it should, he shouldn't be.
No, but,
which
but is, this is the problem with Dwayne. He has a higher usage than the following: Paul George, Damian Lillard, Carmelo Anthony, Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant, John Wall. What?
That's a problem.
Like, those are guys, especially Lillard and George, who don't have anybody else on their team, who need to have the ball all the time. Dwayne has a higher usage than all of them.
Well, I'll tell
you. Dennis Schroeder has a higher usage than Goran Dragic. What?
That's not good.
George doesn't need the ball in his hands as much as Wade does. But see, you know what bothers me a little bit? Like, when LeBron was here, Wade did so much damage off of back cuts and rolling to the rim off of screens. And, I mean, layups off of the baseline cuts. Like, what happened to all that?
LeBron ain't here, man. And if LeBron ain't here, you got to get his.
Also, Dwayne is actually the best passer on the team, and nobody's...
He is, but, yeah, like...
can we talk about that? Because, like, he'll... What was that? That pass that he made to Dang off that cut when Dang got blocked by Porzingis? That was incredible. Do you know what I'm talking about?
He's by far... Yeah, he's the best passer on the team, and it's not even close.
He's the best passing shooting guard I've ever seen.
Well, no. Ginobili's better.
Oh, yeah. Ginobili.
Yeah, Ginobili's better.
I don't know.
But... Yeah. Wade is our best passer.
I just like if he moves the ball.
Who's better than him?
I can't.
I got you.
I can't. I don't have a list of this.
Chalmers.
Drexler. I don't know.
I mean, he's an incredible passer.
I had to argue with somebody that Wade was better than Drexler.
How is this still
I hate that argument.
How is that still an argument?
I don't know.
I hate the Jerry West one, because didn't he play like point guard a lot of the time?
And everybody who argues this with you is like 28, and they've never even seen Drexler.
Yeah, play. And Jerry West couldn't even dribble with his right hand.
Oh, is that true?
He didn't have great handle. Like, he could handle, but he was notorious for, like, having being strong on the left and not being super strong on the right.
He was a great shooter.
Yeah, no, he was. He can still shoot. Like, he could probably be our best shooter. Have you seen? He's teaching. He's like what? Like 80 something? I don't know. But he's like teaching these little kids how to shoot, and he's just like, every time it's nothing but net.
Is he in like?
And he's just no effort.
I imagine him in a full suit.
Yeah, no, that's what he was. He was like talking to kids, just chilling,
in
just
a suit,
draining shots. Yeah,
yeah, of course,
it's amazing.
Speaking of white guys that can shoot, can we get Ryan Anderson? Like, how does that happen?
Nah, I don't want him.
What?
I mean, I do, but
then you'd have to play big.
What?
Do you have to play big? Ryan Anderson and Bosch.
That ain't big. No.
I mean, Ryan Anderson's 6'10". Like,
yeah, no, but he's
no.
He's
a play, power. You'd play space, but you'd allow. I guess. I don't know. I'm not big on Ryan Anderson for this team because you have Bosch. They have redundant skill sets.
Not but exactly.
They don't have redundant skill sets, but they can both shoot, and then you open up the lane for Goran and Wade.
I love it.
I don't know, man.
Alf, you just became...
They have, like, no way to get him. How would they get him? They don't have any...
No, they can't get him. They won't get him. But
They can trade Juwan Howard and...
Ray Allen's contract that apparently...
Ray Allen's, yeah.
Yeah, I don't get how that works, but apparently it's something, some cap permutation. Gallinari would be so great for this team.
Well, like, what would
what
they
do you mean, eh? Shooter, runs the floor, can play pick and roll, can play power forward.
I like him, but what would you give up for him?
No, you can't get him. They can't.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing. We talk about all these people, they can't trade anybody.
Yeah, no, if we're talking pipe dreams.
That's the problem. Every trade piece we have has played themselves out of played themselves out of their value. Like Birdman completely destroyed every last vestige of value. Yeah, he was so bad.
He didn't want to be out there, man. I'm convinced that he doesn't want to play anymore.
No, I'm convinced that he can't move anymore.
Yeah, no. He's got a lot of mileage on that body.
And remember, we got him after like a 2-year hiatus from the league, so he was fresh when we first signed him. Man, at the end of last year, that guy was in quicksand. He couldn't move at all,
he played well last year.
At the end of last year.
Until the end, I think he slowed down. But everybody did.
When they signed him, and what was it, 2013 or 2012? I don't remember. 2013. I was asked by people, like, oh, no, man, they got this Birdman guy. Oh, and you know how the Heat were. They would just pick up a bunch of bigs and never play them, and I'm like, that guy's never going to play.
Oh, no, I was like, that guy's going to play.
Boy, was I wrong.
Oh, no, I was like, that guy is going, because of his energy, he just fits so well. He was Joel Anthony who could finish around the basket.
He was amazing. Do you remember that streak of games where he just wasn't, like, he hadn't missed a shot in, like, what, like 16, 17 shots?
It was like during the playoffs.
It was during the playoffs. And I remember I went to one of the Eastern Conference Finals games, and he hadn't missed any of them, but he was only taking, like, finishing lobs and stuff. And then he takes, like, this baseline jumper from, like, 15 feet out, and everybody gasps in the arena. And it was nothing but net.
Yeah.
And it was the most hilarious thing ever because we had never – that was before he took jumpers, like, at all.
His shot
and it was the most amazing thing ever.
His shot does look nice.
It does, but he never hits it in game. Except for that Mavs game. Do you remember that Mavs game where he –
He hit a three?
He hits the corner three, and then Mark Cuban's just disgusted.
He even in warm-ups, when they're doing the layup drills and, you know, a couple guys dunk, he can't even dunk anymore, man. Really? But he's trying windmills, getting stuffed by the rim. So sad. Him and Udonis make me sad.
No, Udonis makes me sad because, like, Udonis was the best.
There's a lot of wasted roster spots right now.
Udonis.
Yeah. Well, I'm more concerned about the Mick Roberts thing because you're not going to get rid of Udonis and then Birdman's just kind of, what do you do with that? Like, nobody's going to take him.
You know, at one point, McBob was looking like a valuable trade piece. But
yeah, no, he did. Now it doesn't look like that.
I don't think he's going to play again. For the rest.
I don't know if he does either.
Because you know how this goes. And all of a sudden, orthopedic or orthopodic, whatever, knee surgery.
Arthroscopic?
Whatever.
Orthopedic.
Stoudemire's been good though. So
I'm traumatized, man. I have Damari Carroll in my fantasy league, and that he had that, and I'm just like, oh, I'm shook.
No, I like Stoudemire too. I do. I like what he's. I like the things he brings to the table when he gets into the game. Like you said, like you guys are saying, when Bosch is out, sometimes everything grinds to a screeching halt. But when Stoudemire's in there, he does move the ball. That's like his biggest asset. When it, like you know, when people talk about Hassan is a black hole. He can't pass, and when he does pass, he throws the ball away. So when he gets the ball, it doesn't go anywhere. You know the shot's going up. Amare gets the ball in the post. People collapse to him because they know he can still score, and he finds shooters. So I do like what Amare brings to the table.
I think Amari's played well, and he's a very good pick and roll player, and Goran likes him. Why is he quiet?
We're all thinking about Amari.
I mean, I said something like basic. I didn't even say anything deep. I just said something so obvious.
It was just
those small lineups are amazing. Like I don't like. I think they did that. Wade, Goran, Tyler, Winslow, and then Bosch lineup, and all those really small lineups are a lot of fun, and they just get the offense going because the team moves.
But and you know what? One of my only criticisms of Spo, sometimes those lineups that come in with all this energy, and he keeps them in.
Yeah, maybe he keeps them in a little bit too long.
Like two possessions too long sometimes. Like
and you it see just kind of kills the momentum.
Yeah, you see it slipping away. You see Wade and like Hassan get up, and they're at the scorer's table, and then Spo is trying to squeeze like two more possessions out of them, and then it's like a 4-0 run by the other team, and they just cut a an 11-point lead down to 3, and now it's back up to 7, and it's like shit.
That's usually Udry's fault.
You stop with the Udry slant. Udry is so solid, man. Udry is he's like mayonnaise,
he's
man.
He's the anti Chalmers.
He's mayonnaise, right?
What does that mean?
Too much of him could make you sick, right? But just the right amount, man, it can make a sandwich amazing.
Have you seen Undercover Brother?
Yes, I have.
I'm surprised that you're saying this, having seen Undercover Brother.
That's why I say he's just the right amount of mayonnaise, all right? Too much mayonnaise.
Jack, have you seen Undercover Brother?
I have, yeah.
It's a great movie. Do you like
it? I want to read you this thing real quick. This is Humberto. Says the Heat have a better roster than the Bulls and way better starters, but can't even win 4 in a row. Bulls won 6. How? Why? Jeez.
I kind of agree with that. I'm not going to lie. I don't think the Bulls are that good.
Who cares about win streaks? Like, it's the amount of wins at the end of the year is all that matters. Who gives a crap? Like, that, the whole win streak thing. A Houston Rockets team won 22 straight. They got bounced out in the first round. Like, a win streak is about who you play, when you play them. There's a lot of circumstances that go into it. Let's look. Aren't the Heat like fifth in net rating on the year?
I think they.
Yeah, no. That Haralabob guy is pretty consistent. I like him sometimes, but he's pretty consistent about just kind of shitting on the Heat.
Did you see my? I got into it with him yesterday.
I did see that.
It felt good. It felt good because I haven't like had a real target in a while because nobody talks about the Heat. Like it's, you know, there's no Michelle Beatles, Michael Wilbons. Nobody's talking about them.
Levitard's right. You guys are searching for someone to hate.
Oh, dude, someone sent out the bat signal for me. I don't remember who it was. They were like, Alf, Haralabob, whatever his name is talking shit. I'm like, I'll be right there. And I quote tweeted him, called him a degenerate hack.
I did see that. That was great.
And then he responded. I was like, yes. I was like,
you're my web.
I was like, we're back, baby. I haven't trolled anyone in a while.
It's like LeBron never left.
We are it's back. Fun.
I still miss the Keith Olbermann period. That was my favorite time. He was kind of shitting on the 62-point game, or
Yeah.
61, 62.
Oh, my God. I remember that. Yeah. That night was so fun.
That's when Ethan followed everybody, too.
Yep. We were Avengers Assemble.
Wait, what? I thought I was special.
No. See,
no, because if you would just tweet shit at Keith Olbermann, no, Ethan would follow you.
I didn't do that.
Also, it was kind of hilarious.
Ethan does think I'm special. Ethan follows me on Instagram. I don't know why. I just said his daughter was very cute one day, and he followed me on Instagram.
There you go. His wife follows me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. When I said that, years ago, I said he's a leader of Heat Twitter.
Little did you all know that he would run elections.
Listen, speaking of which, did you know that Izzy has a show on the weekends now with Amin El-Hassan?
Yeah, I'm kind of excited.
But they call it Izzy and Amin, and I'm not getting royalties for this shit. What the hell's going on?
That's right.
I tweeted at Izzy. I'm like, what the hell's going on? You're big time now? Like,
Izzy and the juice, man.
You don't need it.
Where came from?
And listen, if Izzy and Amin don't have me on as they're on their first show, we all know what's going on. Izzy big time the shit out of me. You know, we used to be cool.
Yeah, no, what the hell? Remember where you came from, dude? Miami.
Exactly. Remember who
Mike Ryan unfollowed me.
Why?
Like a week ago because, because I'll just tweet troll shit every like once in a while. And then it was like right after Christmas, I think. And I was like, Home Alone is a bad movie. And he's like, that's it. This is the last straw. I'm done with you. And then he unfollowed me.
Listen, you might have deserved that one.
I earned it. I was just like,
do you mean that?
Cost of trolling.
Do you mean that?
What? No, I don't mean that. I don't care.
That's the best part.
I wasn't even like. I thought about the movie. Somebody brought up the movie, and I was like, I'll just send this out real quick. See how people react to this.
You're the worst, but you're also the best.
But that's what happens. Like, every week, I'll see the follower report. And I'll lose like 15 followers a week, but then I'll gain like 20 something. So
you fucking positive. Privileged people. I was happy to get to 500 and I wheezed my ass to 500.
My most disturbing time was when Spoon deactivated. I gained like 150 followers that week.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, holy shit. I'm the replacement for Spoon. What the hell is going on? it made me really reevaluate everything I was doing on Twitter.
Do you think Spoon ever coming back?
I think he has another account.
Definitely. He's Humberto Bao.
That would be amazing.
That would be the best thing in the world.
He just completely did a heel turn. He just like went from learn the game to fire Spo.
he's wearing a mask like the Midnight Marauder or whatever.
But there's no way that he can go under an alias just because his personality, it felt so real.
No, it would come out. It would come out just like
eventually, yeah.
Like he's like, learn the game, damn it.
I'm telling you, there are times where I'm like, oh my God, I understand exactly what Spoon was talking about. Like, I understand exactly why he quit Twitter. Like, it gets so bad sometimes. But it's also my own fault. Like Riz will tweet at me. Other people, like, they're like, where the hell do you find these people?
You look for them.
I searched them out. I literally... And then the worst part is now people like alert me to them. Like, hey, Alf, someone's talking about Fire Spo.
I didn't know that this was a thing, but I'm going to start doing this now. I'm gonna alert you.
I put on my fingerless gloves and I'm right there. Like, let's go.
You're fucking ready.
Let's rumble. I get a spike back my fingers. I'm like the Warriors.
This is so great. People talk shit. They get stitches, dude. They get Twitter stitches.
Yeah, they call me.
Okay, well, because you're the president and enforcer. You are the judge, jury, and executioner.
It's so sad. Like, how do I explain this to people in real life?
You don't.
Like someone asked me, like, how did you get free Heat tickets?
I don't want to talk about it.
I stole them. Just whatever.
I won a radio contest for like being the president of the Heat tour. But I didn't really want to be the president. I was like, my speech was about not being like, dude, it's okay. You're lame. All right.
I cannot you know, it's funny. Like, I was explaining I had some friends in town and they were asking me, like, you know, about how my blog going and my podcast. And I'm very excited because Alf is on and you're a big deal and Jack's on and I'm very excited. And I try to explain to them Heat Twitter and it's just like they don't get it. And I don't blame them.
Oh, well,
you can't explain it.
No,
it just exists.
it exists, and it's kind of embarrassing.
Yeah, no, I don't. I try not to talk about it.
I mean, but it's just a part of us, and we can't deny it.
It is. It's just a part I'd rather not share with the rest of the world.
It's kind of like how I like anime, and I'm at times ashamed. It's kind of like how I feel about Heat Twitter. Like, I just, like, I try to hide it. It's not real.
I'm the president.
You're the president of this fantasy land.
Yeah. I'm the president of a thing most people are embarrassed to talk about with their friends.
You're a father, damn it.
What do you think it's like to be, like, Silky, though? And then just, like,
he's not a real person. I'm convinced that he's a bot.
He is a real person, though. Not. We've seen pictures.
I don't believe it. You can Google any person.
He was revealed.
I don't believe it.
I still have never seen a picture, and I don't want to.
I don't want to.
He's just a tall white guy. He looks like like John Krasinski or whatever.
I don't want to know. He's not real.
I don't believe anything you're saying right now. I don't know if you guys saw the picture when I hung out with Whittingham, Beast, Cochran, Slim, is Dan Cochran, Gnarly.
Is Cochran nice? Cochran seems nice.
Oh, he's a cool guy. I really like Cochran a lot. But I hung out with them, and then I told them, I was like, I don't want to take a group picture. They're like, no, we'll fix it. We took the group picture. They put Samuel Jackson's face on top of mine.
Oh, I did see that. I have seen that.
Yeah. Well, because I was like, I don't want my face out there.
They should have put the Jordan crying meme, although that's better.
Well, no. Everyone knows me by this. And then Channing Crowder has the same one as me. And
yeah, that pisses me off. Because I'm like, Crowder, quit stealing out. It's bad that I think of you as the main Samuel L. Jackson guy. And then Crowder's stealing it.
You didn't even put up a fight. And I think with that, we've come full circle. We've gone an hour and 12 minutes. This is
the
record longest podcast ever.
Hell yeah.
I think I won the battle of the elves.
Yeah, he didn't even put up a fight. You're pathetic.
All right.
Although you did tell us that Mike Ryan unfollowed you because you did a troll. That was fun.
Yeah, that might have won.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so do you guys have any stories coming up that you want to plug?
I have some ideas in the works, but nothing that I'm going to tell you right now. But
Lefty Leaf, because you don't know it. Lefty Leaf has put up a couple stories. He's been very active.
He's good. I like.
Yeah, no, he is good.
I'm telling you, we are the people's blog, man. We are the blog of the people.
My next story that I'm working on is how to enjoy this heat season without losing your mind.
Oh, that's going to be great. I'm very excited to read that.
I was thinking something about Michael Beasley, but that might be better.
Well, I was doing a random scrub heat killer story, and I got bored. Not that I got bored, but I kind of like got halfway into it, and I never finished it. And I think... Yeah.
Okay, be honest. You started writing about Paul Millsap and you broke down in tears and couldn't fit.
That's a depressing thing to write, man.
I started watching film and I just got angry. Like,
it's infuriating.
I was watching old Ben Gordon highlights and I was like, oh.
What's Wayne Ellington?
Oh, that Ellington, man.
He acknowledged it. Did you see that? He had a Twitter Q&A and somebody was asking, like, why do you always light up the Heat? And he's like, I don't know. It's just one of those teams. I always,
yeah,
like I always turn it on for them. I was like, what the hell, man?
They know.
That bum.
They do know. They're aware of it.
Well, he's another fade on site.
Fight him?
Yeah, I'm fighting Wayne Ellington and Dellavedova.
I'm fighting Dellavedova. I don't know.
Yeah, I'll cheer for you guys as you fight him.
You know, you won't fight. You'll fight Humberto.
If I can order.
Humberto, I love you, dude. You keep listening.
You are the
number one fan, man. You always tweet. You listen to the show. You retweet our stories. You are the best. Don't listen to them. They're angry and
we're stupid.
Yeah, they're stupid and they're angry. And I love you. You're the best.
Fire spell.
Yeah.
Yeah, Humberto, you're a jackass. Don't read anything I write.
Hashtag fire the elves.
Don't listen to him.